This is Dairy Rewind, a look back at what happened this week in the dairy industry. Monday.
U.S. dairy markets need exports to balance, according to Matt Gould, the analyst and editor of the Dairy and Food Market Analyst Newsletter.
Shipping problems peaked in somewhere around February and March and then improved somewhat. But now that we're headed into the holiday season, they're worsening again and frankly to record levels. So what that means is that if you go off the coast of Southern California, which is, you know, our premier port for dairy exports, there are a record number of ships waiting to be unloaded, and it's taking a record number of time for those ships to go from waiting to actually docking at the ports. So, you know, from a U.S. export point of view, what that does is it limits the amount of cargo that can get on those ships because they're trying to turn around and get back to China or other Asian nations primarily as fast as possible. And ultimately what that means for U.S. dairy exports is they're hampered by this.
Tuesday.
Taking a look at the markets and concerns over feeding our cows, we hear from economist Dan Bossi, president of Ag Resource Company.
Class Milk 3, at least in our research, is still sideways. We've been talking about a late summer low, which came in right at forecast at $16. We kind of see the markets now caught between 16.5 and 18.5 heading into the end of the year. Now, our research would also suggest maybe a secondary bottom in that January-February timeframe of $15.5 or $16. But hope is building for 2022 as we still see elevated cow slaughter rates. And so maybe if that demand holds steady or improves and cow numbers come down, we will have a more bullish landscape, at least for that 2022 year as it starts to come through. Feed grain costs bottomed last week. We believe the seasonal lows are in relative to the USDA report and the damage produced by a hurricane named Ida in the Gulf. Early corn yields have been disappointing. We have never seen so much disease pressure in a corn crop than what we are seeing this year.
Wednesday.
So Perform has a longstanding history with Salmonella or E. coli, and we believe that the scours are due to Salmonella or E. coli, and we know that the Salmonella and E. coli produce these endotoxins, and the body's natural defense is to flush them out. I'd like to recommend an electrolyte product that does not have any gelling or pectin agents. I want to get the electrolytes in to support the pH balance and the hydration of the calf, but I do not want to slow the flow of ingesta through that intestinal tract because the flushing process is important to get the toxins out.
Thank you, Ryan. That's Dr. Ryan Leiterman, Director of Technical Services with Crystal Creek.
Thursday.
In the 80s and 90s, really, we had the more traditional dairy farm. Ironically, in 2008, when we expanded to 270 cows, you know, at times almost 300, we were actually invited to the large producers cooperative meeting. And in just that short amount of time between 2008 and now 2021, we're actually considered a small dairy farm that would have been the size of in the 1980s. So it's really interesting how the growth due to the consolidation of the processors and how the small dairy farm is now considered to be 1,000 or 1,200 cows, whereas we were a large farm at 300 cows just 14 years ago. So yeah, it is interesting how the dynamics of the industry and how we have merged from being national producers to processors wanting to be global. And that has not benefited the dairy farmer at all. It was much better when prices were more stable, when our cooperatives were focusing on regional markets. And even when our cooperatives had merged in the late 90s and early 2000s into national markets, it's really when we got into this globalization. Say 2014, we made a lot of export money and the farm gate prices did reflect the amount of exports that we were creating. What has happened since then is while we're continuing to increase our exports in volume and in value, the gap between the farm gate price and those increases in exports has not kept up pace.
Our thanks to Deborah Mills, Minnesota dairy farmer and NDPO board secretary.
Friday.
We're going to talk about reducing feeding stress. This is based on an article published by Dr. Trevor DeVries from the University of Guelph in Canada. So the first area is heat stress. The second area would be not to overcrowd. The third area was pen movements. The fourth area he talked about briefly was grouping cows. So the take-home message here is that there are factors that farmers can control to reduce feed stress on dairy farms. And depending on their facilities and number of cows, they have some opportunities as well.
And that's Dr. Mike Hutchins. To listen to more, go to DairyRadio.com.
Dairy Rewind.